All right. Thank you very much. Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee regular monthly meeting for the month of June. My name is Rob Robinson. I'm the chair, and I'm convening the meeting this evening at 9:15 p.m. I would like to let me just announce the members of the committee that are here. We have on the call with us tonight a quorum, and that quorum of eight includes Ngozi Kamau, Patty Heffley, myself, Rob Robinson, Maria Armudian, Ken Freeland, Sean Rhodes, Bonnie Simmons, and Adnan Lakhani. Adnan Lakhani.
Hey, who's here?
Hello?
Hi, it's Serene.
Oh, hi, Serene's with us. All right, we have now nine members. I'd like to introduce Adnan Lakhani from KPFT in Houston, who replaces Therese Allen. Adnan, would you just say a few words and tell us what you'd like to see this committee accomplish based on your understanding of what we're up to, very briefly?
I'm excited to join the committee and hopefully resolve some of these resolutions on the table, because they're definitely worth resolving. That's it.
Okay. Okay, the first order of business I'd like to get to is, Serene, we still don't have the minutes from April and May, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And I could tell you, you'd have them later this week, but I'd rather show you than tell you.
Okay. I'd like to entertain any motions about how we can collect the minutes, though.
And I'd be willing to resign if someone wants to step up and do the job.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're there.
Well, we've talked about, Serena, we in a kind of working process before we were able to convene the meeting because we didn't have a quorum yet. We talked about a process by which we may be able to, at least we will give a process if we agree now that we have quorum, to develop, to put together the minutes at the end of the meeting in a collective process. To make them brief minutes, but encompass the primary actions taken by the committee and do it as like the last 12 minutes in a collective process at the end so that it doesn't burden anyone. We very much appreciated the very detailed minutes that you have provided, but of course we don't want to have that burden on anybody, and we do want to have the minutes to move forward. So we talked about being able to do that collective process at the end of each meeting, and people seem to have been willing to do that. But there are quite a number of people new to the call now, so we need to re-explore that.
That's fine with me.
This is Ken. I recall that part of that proposal was that one person per meeting would be appointed as it were, acting secretary to coordinate those minutes. Which would be approved at the end of the meeting, and then that would be the end of that person's responsibility.
Right.
At the end of the same meeting.
At the end of that same meeting. So one person would be appointed, would volunteer and be appointed. Well, they might not volunteer. They might just be forced to it by gunpoint. But anyway, one person would be the person who would coordinate this minutes-taking process with the help of others there. And before the meeting is over, there would be a reserved time at the end of the meeting at which the minutes would be approved by the people at the time, and therefore there would be no reason to delay the posting of the minutes after the meeting.
And prior to the approval, that also would be the process of the time in which collectively we would... So the point is that
right.
We all would be taking notes in
right.
the process of the
right.
meeting, but no one would be burdened to make sure that they had comprehensive notes. But at the end, we would put those together. And as John pointed out, we could also get the specific verbiage from the recordings. So we would have a timekeeper who would write down, like, the time that the motions were made to
right.
make sure that we had the correct language.
And as Ngozi proposed, and as I certainly would agree, these do not need to be detailed minutes. They only need to be recordings of what was decided by the committee and when.
Yeah.
Actions of the committee.
Actions of the
Primary
committee.
Action.
Okay, so I'd like to, can someone move... That's how we will proceed with developing our minutes from here on out so that we can vote on that. It's now 9:19, so somebody needs to write down that the first motion is this one.
And, I will write that down.
And if someone will make the motion.
Okay. I thought Ngozi did.
Yeah, somebody,
okay.
We already did it collectively.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions or want it to be re-articulated? Great.
Second for the motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Serene spoke first. So all in favor of Ngozi's motion that we have a secretary pro tem, or that we someone will put the meeting together at the end of each meeting, but it won't be the same person for every meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. So that's how we're going to go forward.
Robert, we still need to talk about what we're going to do about past minutes. And it sounds like Serene has promised that within the week, is that right, Serene, that you will send out these minutes for both the last two meetings?
Yep.
I think that would be acceptable, but if for some reason that shouldn't happen, then we might need a backup plan.
You want to make a motion, Ken?
You want to be our backup plan, Ken?
No, I want the backup plan to be what we discussed in the working session of this committee before we had quorum. So I would say that I would propose that we anticipate that Serene will provide the minutes of the last two meetings within 7 days, but should that not happen, that Ngozi Kamau will work with Rob Robinson to recall through the archives the minutes of the last two meetings and publish them.
Point of personal privilege?
Sure.
Ngozi.
Yes, ma'am.
Not Ngozi. Ngozi.
Oh, well, I'm aware that that name is pronounced in different ways, so I really am flexible about how people identify with the pronunciation, but I do respect that. So you're right in some ways. Depending on the country, they pronounce it differently. But thank you very much, Serene.
Okay.
Did we have a second for the motion? I'm confused.
And that motion was for us to go with the backup plan, but I very much trust that Serene will be able to fulfill.
The motion is that we go with the plan of Serene producing the minutes within
yes.
7 days, but should that not occur,
yes.
that we will go with the backup plan of
Ngozi. Sure, I'll
second
that.
Okay. It's 9:22 for the second motion. Everyone, is there any discussion about that, or can we go directly to a vote?
Point of information?
Sean.
On roads in Brooklyn and New York, when you said go to the archives,
yeah.
What does that mean? Are you referring to the audio tape, the
yes.
taping of this meeting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor of Serene providing us with the missing minutes in 7 days, and Ngozi working on a backup plan with me to pull that off the archives, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Abstainers, it carries unanimously. And then the other point that we made is we're going to need someone to help us understand how to archive our materials so everyone knows where it is so that they can go find it on the Internet. And everyone that produces, whether it's agendas or minutes or reports, will know how to put it on the archive, so that we all have access to the same documents and we can all put documents out there for others to share. Somebody needs to help us understand how to do that, which probably is going to involve sending us written instructions and then doing a short call in which we play around with it. Do I have a volunteer for that?
I already drafted it, actually. I just need
okay.
to send it out to you guys.
So you're volunteering?
Who's you?
Yeah.
Serene Roberts,
okay.
Our secretary. Okay, so we have that volunteer. That's another item of business that we should note. I want to go to the, since Bonnie is going to have to leave quickly if she hasn't already left. Bonnie, are you still with us?
I'm still hanging, but it's getting really narrow.
Okay.
Hanging by a thread.
we had a good discussion with you about how KPFA does program evaluation. We didn't learn everything about it, but I think we saw what was a very, very good sheet, and you talked mm-hmm. about it. Can you just give us a brief discussion of you know, about that
I can. Let me look up. I just want to find an email that I did get after our discussion in answer to some of your questions. Let
okay.
me just...
Okay. Essentially, they have currently two, and everyone should have a copy of the evaluation documents. I sent them to you this evening. They do two types of evaluation of the programmers at KPFA. The programmers do a self-evaluation, and the programmers are then evaluated by a group. And we're not quite sure how many and how that group is.
I got that information, and I'm just trying to find it here.
I know. I knew that was what you were looking for. But the other thing that's a little bit different is that KPFA has a program council, which does not perform the role of the program director, but they do have a very strong voice in the evaluation process and in how the program schedule is constructed. Is that a fair statement for everybody that was on the call?
Repeat that, Robert.
KPFA has a program council, which plays a strong role in overseeing the evaluations. The program council does not do the evaluations themselves, but they also play a significant role in the construction, or at least in discussing the construction and the maintenance of the program schedule.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard from Bonnie, too.
Okay.
Ah, I found it.
And now Bonnie is back to lead us to truth.
In the evaluation that is done not by the programmer himself or herself, but the one that is done by a group put together by program council, the group is one department head or assigned point person, one unpaid staff program council representative, one listener or community program council representative, and one unpaid staff not serving on the program council who programs in the same genre as the show being reviewed.
And the documents that everyone has and can look at, you will see that the programmer self-evaluation is very similar but not identical to the evaluation that is done of the programmer by the program evaluation group. Correct, Bonnie?
Very similar, to the point that we even could fix our pronouns a little bit.
Oh, it's so well put.
Sounds dirty. In any case, from my perspective, the thing that I liked about it is that I've been hearing discussions about program evaluation and looking at half-baked forms for it for 5 or 6 years. This is the best form I've seen. It brings together most of the discussion about how should a well-done program be prepared, and what should programmers and producers do to create programming that fulfills the mission, and how should they be concerned about the interests of their listeners, as well as things like assuring that when pledge drives take place, that the programmers are doing the pledge drives in such a way to get the best out of it from the listener sponsors. So I think it's a central fundamental piece of the program evaluation puzzle, and what it means is that I think we can, by talking to other general managers and program directors, come closer to saying, okay, we can find some general guidelines that all stations will benefit from to do much of this and to use this as basically a model for what they do. They don't have to do exactly the same thing, but we think that these are kind of the dimensions of evaluation that programmers ought to be doing of themselves and that someone associated with the station should be doing of those programmers. So that when decisions are made about changing the program schedule, you're not just dealing willy-nilly with programs, you know, that are fulfilling the mission and doing a good job and bringing audience, and so that you, when you've got programs that may not be doing that, that those programs just don't remain there unscrutinized forever and ever. So it was a very good discussion.
Agreed.
This is Bonnie. The only thing that I would add in thinking about it is that we're not really there yet because we're shorthanded, and we are constantly putting out fires, as I'm sure everyone else is too. But I think that the real end goal is not only to have this once a year or once every 2 years. We have a lot of different programs on the air at each of our stations. Evaluation process, but that also it will open up communication so that when a department head or even, you know, a peer or someone else that's connected with the station hears something that they especially like or hears something that they don't particularly like, it might open communication a little bit so that people begin to talk about their shows more than we have found time to do in the past some years.
And it also helps us talk about whether or not the programming that we have on a program schedule is fulfilling the mission of Pacifica with some overall sense of how the station is trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people that have been evaluated thus far in this new swing of evaluations that we have been putting together, although it is always kind of teeth-gritting, you know, to go through something like that, I think most people are glad for it once it's done. Maybe partially because they went through the discipline of actually filling out a self-evaluation and thinking about it. That may be as useful as the evaluation that you get from others, as far as I'm concerned. But I think that it's fair to say that people feel generally good about it.
So then what is the process within which the program evaluation is done? Because it sounds like not only is it completed by the programmer and then the group of stakeholders, but then there's a process by which it's discussed or...
Well, I have not... I just was evaluated myself. However, I have not actually sat down with my department head.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that currently the way that it is done, when you do sit down, it is with your department head. It's not with the group of people who evaluated you.
Mm-hmm.
So you are essentially discussing the information that came in from a group with the person to whom you directly report at the radio station. And as I was saying to the group, I find that some of the most valuable information that comes through in these is that it is one of the only opportunities, particularly for unpaid programmers who are not in the radio station every day, 5 days a week, to let people know what resources they might need to make their show better, what feelings they might have about where their show is, you know, as far as time or day. Perhaps somebody's life has changed to some extent, and being on Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon no longer fits into their lifestyle. And they're, you know, we don't want people to feel like they can't speak up.
Mm-hmm.
That we all understand that, particularly, well, I am one, being an unpaid programmer, and making room for it within your life while you're also trying to make a living, you know, can sometimes become kind of a pressure. Or it might be something as simple as due to whatever might affect such a thing, that there might be somebody on with a really good show, but it's placed in a time that simply doesn't make sense, you know, for that particular show. Maybe, and I guess the overall thing, that once we've gone through all of these evaluations, I think it's going to make it much easier for a program council or whatever group would be looking at it to begin to do some grid ecology,
mm-hmm.
to begin to do the thing that all of us find a little bit cringeworthy. You know,
cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy. taking on that little piece of paper that with those little grid marks on it that actually lays out the entire programming schedule of the radio station.
Yeah, just so for example, we have Adnan that's new here. One of the questions that very few people in Pacifica could answer is, how often and what's the process for for developing a program schedule. How do you make changes in the program schedule, and how do you assure quality or do things to ensure that the mission is being fulfilled? And the process by which stations have done that is absent. We don't have a process for doing that. But program evaluation is one of the central steps in such a process. And what we're trying to do on this committee, at least I think, what I'd like us to do, is to at least set up the parameters for a process, including program evaluation,
mm-hmm.
so that so that people can say, well, you know, our program schedule is what it is because that's the way it is.
Heard that before.
Yeah. you understand what we're saying, Adnan?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
Rob, this is Bonnie. I just actually have something to say about that.
Yes.
I don't think that program schedule changes necessarily have to be major surgery.
Yes.
I think that sometimes we might have something like, particularly when we come to dealing with half-hour shows,
mm-hmm.
because they're a little bit cumbersome. You know, sometimes to deal with, you always have to have that other half-hour show that's there. And maybe just through the ages, we've had a particular half-hour show that might appeal mostly to older people.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of it, before it, we might have a half-hour show that actually might appeal to a younger audience. And on the other side of the show that appeals to an older audience, there might be a show that also appeals to a younger audience. So sometimes we just don't get around to it. You know, a little bit of fine-tuning,
mm-hmm.
that maybe it wouldn't be completely earth-shattering to anyone involved if we were to flip it so
mm-hmm.
that we could maintain the same audience of people listening for
mm-hmm.
a couple hours. And because I believe that every time you challenge the audience,
yes.
by putting something that may not appeal to them in between two things that they like, you lessen the chance that people are going to tune back in,
yeah.
you know, if you allow them to go away.
Right. But one of the...
Said the commercial radio person, and now I'm going to shut up.
I guess the thing that no matter where we sit in the Pacifica family or what our opinion is about news and public affairs or cultural programming or music programming, one of the things that all of our stations struggle with is problems in making the program schedule flexible, problems in making improvements to programming, problems in bringing forward new programming and new voices, problems in taking areas where we're clearly not fulfilling the mission and creating space for them. Is that something that everybody can identify with vis-a-vis program evaluation, or am I too obscure?
No, it makes sense to me, definitely. And what I really hear Bonnie saying here is that you can address specific issues, as she said, resources, the scheduling of the program, and to me, of course, that means that what it does is it opens up a space for dialogue about whatever issues need to be talked about specific to that program.
Correct.
And I think that's wonderful, including to what extent it's addressing the mission, how that can be approved, resources that can even help it be stronger in those ways,
right.
et cetera.
Right. This is Ken. I just want to thank Bonnie publicly for her contribution to this subcommittee, because it was a really... I felt really enlightened by what she had to report from KPFA and how they're doing things. I think it's clearly KPFA, whether they have met their mark or not, is leading in terms of helping to concretize the process of program evaluation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're working hard.
Bonnie, let me tell you what I'd like to do at the next, or something I'd like to think about trying to do at the next meeting of this group. I'd like us to get one or two program directors and maybe even a general manager so that we can kind of open up the scope of some
mm-hmm.
of the other issues that bear on program evaluation. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense to you and to the other members of the group that are here? Serene and Maria and Ken and...
Yes. I think that would be a very good idea.
Yeah, because I'm really concerned, for example, that our station doesn't do program goals and station services, and we really don't talk enough about whether or not we're fulfilling the mission.
Well, same here. So I think it would be very useful to get some of these folks involved, these players.
Yeah, Serene, I think it's a good idea to do it, but I know that at least in New York and in Berkeley, they'll be in fundraising drive at that time, so that timing may not be so great in terms of the next meeting for the mini drives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, did we schedule it in the mini drive?
Our meeting is going to be, what, the 20-something, and I think both stations are going to be in mini drive around the end of the month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Thanks.
So soon, but not the next one.
Maybe the one after that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we can do. We'll meet on that. Can we just go on to the next topic then?
Well, actually, Rob, if you wouldn't mind, I don't know. I'm thinking that Ernesto's question kind of flows into this, and I wanted to be clear that all he wanted was just the document. Ernesto, are you still there?
I certainly am.
Okay. Could you articulate your interest if all it was just to get the document? Cool. But I wanted.
It was basically just some feedback, and it doesn't necessarily have to be on the call. I know you all have a big agenda ahead, but I'm in the process of putting together a youth volunteer program here pretty much from scratch because we don't really have anything like that, but was interested in one of the evaluation document as well as looking at programming from a mission-based perspective as a means of articulating that to young people, 12, 15, 17, 18 years old, who are interested in radio but are also open to learning about the mission and how to apply that to radio.
Mm-hmm.
So wanted to get some of those documents and also talk about evaluations and talk about how we look at radio not just from getting on the air because it's kind of a cool thing for a really young person, but understanding why that type of access is important and explaining that in a way that's accessible for someone who's a little bit younger and may not have as much experience as the collective here. So that was basically it, getting that document, getting some other pieces from Rob that I was talking about in regard to applying the mission to programming, and anyone who can give me feedback on that. My number at the station is 713-526-4000, extension 308. And my email address is ernesto@kpft.org.
You know what you might do is at some point have a conversation with Amelia Gonzalez at KPFA because she has been supervising the apprenticeship program.
Yeah, I've spoken with her, as a matter of fact. Hopefully getting some documents shortly on some of that as well.
And in New York, you can talk to, there are a couple of people you can talk to because we have at least two youth collectives, and they're the people working with them are 20-somethings, and the people they're working with are in their teens. So, you know, it'll be very helpful, I think.
Cool. Appreciate it. That was mainly it.
And I just wanted to state that I know that when Rob responded initially to your question, He talked about that Excel file or that one that has the mission parameters, if you will, for programming as an evaluation thing. And of course, I know the way that it was introduced to us also was in terms of development of programming policy. So, of course, the tool that can be used for evaluation can be used, of course, for the creation or the development of it. So just wanted to articulate that I see that grid as being very useful in the development of policy as well as the evaluation of policy.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go then back to the committee that Ken is working on that's dealing with.
Before we go there, since we're not under operating under any other time pressures at the moment, I think the housekeeping needs to be taken care of that we haven't taken care of yet, and that is the standing request for an amendment of the minutes from a previous meeting about the mandate for the committee that I'm on, that I'm chairing. Okay, and I did make a specific request last time for the amendment of those minutes, and it was requested that we wait one more meeting to find out whether we were going to amend those minutes. So I would like that to be handled before we proceed.
How did you want to amend the minutes, Ken?
That the the mandate of that committee was to flesh out a program proposal around the question of a possible drive time or not news magazine. Collaborative news magazine.
That was your understanding.
That was my understanding.
Okay.
That's what all I was offering to do.
Okay. Do other members of your committee want to speak to that issue?
You'd have to ask them. I think who do we have here from my committee? Serena's here, and I think that's it.
Serene?
Yeah, my recollection, in fact, we did talk about this, and I posted to people where they could actually find the sound.
Yes, you did.
That surrounded our discussion. My understanding that we were talking about general, we were being very general. I don't think that we had in our discussion restricted it or prescribed that it was going to be a drive time program. What some of the concerns were that in some areas that may very well be what's needed, but in other areas what we have, you know, would be quite adequate, what we have existing. So I don't recall the committee, and my sense of what we agreed that this subcommittee would do, and I was on the subcommittee, was not that we were set out to go out and, you know, come up with a specific program idea, but that we were coming up with general guidelines about what would constitute core programming within, you know, core Pacifica programming.
This is Ken. I dispute that totally. I think we had two meetings in which Serene took part in the first but not in the second, and all that we discussed was this particular program idea. We didn't discuss larger philosophical questions, and no one raised them. So I think at this latter day to suggest that it had some other purpose is a little out of order, personally. But in any case, that was all the committees did, and that's what the reports that were that came out of the committees that I made to the larger committee here was that we discussed this program idea and fleshed it out, which was what I had originally proposed to do. I used the word literally, fleshed out. And the latter of the two meetings, we became very clear or more concrete about exactly what parameters we were talking about, and I think have put forward a fairly concrete proposal for it. Again, I'm not opposed to taking on other tasks, but that I do not understand that larger task was ever assigned to this group, and since I'm the one that made the proposal for the formation of the subcommittee, I just sort of blanch at the idea that it had other tasks.
Ken?
Yeah.
Can I say something? First of all, my concern that what we have to do with this committee in the long run is our mission.
By this committee, you mean the larger committee?
The programming committee of the Pacifica National Board.
Right.
We're to assure that programming fulfills the mission as defined.
Right.
Okay. In the articles of incorporation, according to the bylaws.
Right.
Pacifica has not written coherent programming policies,
right.
Not restrictive
right.
ones and constrictive
right.
ones, but just any kind of sensible policies for a long time. We drafted something that the IPMB passed in December of 2003.
Right.
That selected some elements, but one of the ongoing arguments in Pacifica, and this is a reality, is there are people who say that there should be no national programming.
Right.
There are people who say that there should not be any national staff engaged in developing programming that the stations have to carry. We've had arguments about must-carry rules, how they get implemented, and yet I think most of us would agree that a network, a national network, particularly one with Pacifica's mission,
right.
has got not only to have local station programming, but national programming which comes from successful local programs that get produced to higher levels of production, as well as network broadcasts when we have extraordinary events that require, you know, us to put things out. For example, covering the Downing Street hearings is an important thing that most of our listeners want to be informed about. And there is a rationale for doing a network broadcast like that, or like broadcasting national political conventions from time to time. But there are no parameters in policy that tell us how that's supposed to occur, what that means. So we argue at the national board and say there shouldn't be people should not have positions to produce programming nationally. We even have arguments about whether or not people should produce programs at the local station level. So my concern is that whether or not we get into the specific issue of developing collaborative models mm-hmm. for news programming, and I happen to think that news programming should be mm-hmm. at the core of national programming,
mm-hmm.
we have to have something that says, what is our policy? What are our policy parameters going to be? So I really want us to be able to present to the national board something that says national programming shall be this, but it shall not be that. It does certain things that fulfill the mission. It provides news and information that our audience needs to hear, but it does not supplant the mission of the local stations to serve their communities. So we need something about that so that we don't have this endless argument about the role of national programming, the role of local programming, the role of network broadcasts. And we find ourselves in very parlous state right now. As I've told everybody before, almost one out of every $4 that we raise is generated by Democracy Now. And we all like Democracy Now. It's a mission-driven show, but it's no longer a Pacifica product. And if they leave, we're going to have a revenue problem. And my concern is that we shouldn't simply have one program like Democracy Now. We should have others. We should have more hard news programming, and I think we agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have some kind of policy parameters that we're in agreement on that we can put forward to the national board to try to resolve this debate about what national programming is and isn't.
Rob, I'm in agreement with that. The problem is that I did not understand that, and I don't think anybody else, except for suppressibly Serene, understood that to be the purview of the committee, the subcommittee. We understood that we were to be looking at this particular alternative news show, collaborative news show, to be broadcast, through network-wide, hopefully, as an example of how we could do collaborative news programming. So I'm not opposed to taking on the other task. I just don't believe that it was originally assigned to us. And yet, you know, despite that, on the basis of the pertinent discussion of the previous meeting, I have sent out two members of this subcommittee and yourself an invitation to consider discussing the question. And I'm not opposed to it. I just don't believe that it was originally assigned to us. That's all.
This is Maria, and I just want to second what Ken just said. That we were talking about a pilot project,
right,
to do collectively among all stations.
Right.
There was another subcommittee that was taking on, and I think I was supposed to be part of that too, and I think Dozy was part of that.
Yes.
And that's the one I think you're speaking to.
Yes.
Is that correct, Rob?
No. Defining the mission of this committee is something we have to do.
Right. That was actually a separate committee than the one.
Right.
I think that's right.
That one was William and Gozi,
yep.
Maria, I believe you were on it.
Yes.
And I think there might have been one or two other people, and I'm forgetting.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I put myself on that committee, too, but it was a separate committee to discuss
the mission,
whole question.
I understand the mission, that the mission is a separate discussion from core national programming. But what I'm trying to say is that before you can start developing collaborative models of national programming that we think the board or the stations are going to pay attention to, it seems to me that we have to come up with a policy that says what the relationship should be between national programming, network broadcasts, and local programming and stuff like that. Because that has been an unresolved issue in the network for years and years and years. Has somebody got their television on in the background that they could mute or something? Please? Hello? Hello?
I'm there.
Did we just lose everybody on the call?
No, I'm here, but I don't have a phone.
I hear that music too, but I don't know where it's coming from.
I came on about 15 minutes ago. This is Arturo from KPFK.
Hey, Arturo.
And I don't have a television on.
No, okay. Somebody has a television on, and they should *6 their phone so we don't hear all that background.
That helped whoever did that.
It did. Thank you.
Yep, there it goes again.
Back on.
Okay.
Okay.
How do you see resolving this, Mr. Chair?
Ken, do you think that you could, do you think that your group could have a discussion about the relationships and make some policy recommendations?
I'm open to that suggestion.
That would illuminate the need for you to develop a collaborative proposal such as you have.
I'm willing to take that on if the committee would like me to take that on. Our group, I would be willing to propose that. I'd be willing to take that on as our next agenda item.
Hey, Rob, I think that there's already a subcommittee for that, though, and I think you're starting to mix apples and oranges.
Yeah.
I mean,
subcommittee,
and I know
for what?
We haven't actually met in a while, but didn't we flesh out some documents already among us?
Yeah, we did. Now, this, when Rob talks about that specific aspect of talking about the relationship, the policy for the relationship between the national network and local programming,
mm-hmm.
that would be a component, it could be a component of what we're working out. It seems like our charge is a larger parameter in terms of just coming up with the structural or the mission that's really going to structure how we perceive the role of this committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my understanding. So
right.
I could see how that could be another component, and maybe that would help. They did take on just that particular aspect in terms of articulating the relationship between the national network and the local programming.
I have a question. What are you talking about? What subcommittee are you talking about?
Yeah, it's getting very confusing. It seems to me that we appointed two subcommittees to meet right just prior to the previous national board meeting, and one of them was about this issue, and it was going to meet in New York prior to the PND meeting. That's all I recall, but I don't remember ever getting a report from that committee.
Well, there were some documents generated, I don't recall now what happened to them after they were generated. So I don't know.
We didn't finalize them.
Didn't
William
deliver them out?
I'm sorry?
Ngozi, are you there?
Yes, I didn't hear the question.
That was a discussion about mission. That wasn't about core national programming.
That was the mission statement that you guys were going to work
that's
on.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my recollection.
Yeah.
The meeting, the committee that I think Ken did bring up a proposal for a collaborative morning drive time programming,
right.
and there were many concerns that were raised, including the whole issue of
right.
needing a national point person to do this,
right.
Having some flexibility, different local needs,
mm-hmm.
Having it air different times, discussing the issues
mm-hmm.
of frequency and so forth. And our committee met to see how we might address some of those
correct.
Concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I did not understand that the task of that committee was to come up with a program that we would then offer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the purpose of this PNB committee, frankly, is I didn't understand that we were here to go out and create programming. I thought we were
yes.
to create proposals or policy, rather,
exactly.
from which you know we would then get a national person or not, because collaboration and coordination is absolutely necessary. And I don't know any PD who thinks they have an extra 10 hours to devote to it. But we were supposed to be setting broad policy and looking at the kinds of things we want a national program to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this committee is empowered to go out and create a show.
Well, do you recall or not recall the pilot project language of the proposal?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that
sure.
was what it was about, and that was what the subcommittee discussed twice.
We used the term pilot program in our conversation. We
right.
said anything that we would come up with.
No, it wasn't about anything. It was about a specific type of pilot project that was defined.
Can I have the floor?
Then I think we need to start keeping a stack. May I request that we start keeping a stack?
No, I think it's probably okay.
Let's just
let us finish
each
talking,
other.
Ken, and then you can, well, Mr. Chair, you won't handle that. But I'm thinking if you just let her finish talking, then there'll be plenty of space for you to rebut.
Are you done, Serene? You had the floor originally.
Yes. So there are a number of things I think we need to address, and anything, because we hadn't settled the must-carry thing, and we have to discuss about the finances, you know, who's going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're doing something that's nationwide, phone calls are going to be generated. Someone has to pay for those calls. There are a lot of aspects of this, of any such project that would have to be considered, and I understood that we were supposed to be coming up with a sort of formula that we would use. And then we would put a bid out for proposals. We were not asking members of the committee to come up with their own bids.
Ken, did you want to respond to that?
Sure. The committee didn't come up with its own bid. It came up with some parameters for a pilot project, and there's a difference. And it did that on you know, the first meeting we had was an attempt to troubleshoot, to find out what were some of the problems that could interfere with a project like this. And the second one, having felt that we had reached a certain level of consensus in the first one, which was number one, that we would not designate it to be broadcast at a certain time, but that we were just looking for something that could be a vehicle for this kind of alternative news and analysis that didn't seem to have a place right now as a collaborative project, to provide a space for that, and came up with a specific concrete proposal for how it could happen. But it wasn't a bid. It wasn't saying so-and-so will do such-and-such. It was just saying we could offer this as a template for our show that could begin to develop new core programming and meet a real need that was identified at Pacifica. Apparently there's just two real different understandings of the mission of our committee from myself and Serene. I'm asking that this be clarified, but I'm also saying, in response to your question, Rob, that I'm willing, as chair of that subcommittee, to take on the other question. It's just that my understanding was never that it was part of our purview.
Well, I would like to ask then that what you agree to do is have the debate about the policy parameters, mm-hmm. so that we can begin to look at recommending specific language to the national board that defines the relationship between local, national programming and network broadcasts that doesn't do violence to local station operations,
mm-hmm.
and put some of these issues in a correct light. I've got copies of some of the old documentation, like the must-carry policies. I just think that in making recommendations about pilot projects to the national board for consideration,
mm-hmm.
we need to have gone through these issues with the local station managers and PDs and come to some kind of an agreement. We've had discussions in this group before with people like Alan Minsky and others, and Sean Rhodes, for example, has said over and over again, I want to know what the rules are for developing the collaboration. When we say we're going to have a collaborative broadcast, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are we asking people to do? How is it going to work?
Mm-hmm.
How do we select who the hosts are going to be? How do we select who's going to be the producers? How do we communicate from station to station? Is that a fair recap, Sean?
Yeah.
By the way, Alan's here, too. That's a pretty fair recap. I'm sorry, I produce on Monday until well into this meeting.
So all I'm saying, Ken, is I don't think it's irresponsible for us to make recommendations about pilot programs. I'm not sure we're going to get any money to do anything,
mm-hmm.
but I do think it's unrealistic for us to expect that the PNB is going to look seriously at those things if we haven't given them some kind of a breakdown on how to put together a coherent policy, and we can't all stand behind it and say, not only, yes, it makes sense,
mm-hmm.
but we've talked to Roy Campanella, and we've talked to Eva Georgia, and we've talked to Armando and Ernesto and Dwayne and Ron, and they think that this is a sensible way of proceeding. So if you can see your way clear to doing that, then I think we've resolved the problem.
Well, I'm certainly willing, if other members of the committee are willing, to take on the larger philosophical question there and see what we can do by way of helping to generate some useful policy proposal in terms of that. I'm not against that.
Okay.
But
Maria are there from the committee. Who else is on the committee?
Joe, Noberto, and Maria. Maria's here.
And Joe's here, isn't he?
No, Joe's not here.
I'm sorry, Arturo is.
Arturo's not on the committee.
What about Maria and Serene?
Maria and Serene are both on the committee.
Can we hear from Maria?
Well, my thoughts are that we should definitely talk to all the program directors, and we need to probably get a sense from all the LSBs about how they each feel about this as well. And maybe that would be part of what we would do, is to sort of put a query out and check about what policies and procedures that they would recommend or what they would like to see. Rob, I know that you want to see more core national programming, and I know that at least KPFA and KPFK feel pretty solid in their grids and don't particularly want to be bumping off their local programs. But then I know that there are some folks at other stations that might. Mm. So it becomes a little bit, you know, turf trampling if we don't engage the LSBs and the management.
I'm not suggesting that we don't, Maria.
Okay, so that would
but,
be the...
But the reality is that we do have national programming, and we do have network broadcasts, and they continue to be controversial, and they don't continue to be done with the participation and the clear understanding of everybody about how they're going to operate. And sometimes we spend a great... For example, we did the Media Reform Convention, and we had a presence there, and only one station broadcast it.
Yep.
So there was clearly a waste of resources,
yep.
And there may have been a huge missed opportunity because we didn't have a way of communicating with our people about what was something that I think the listeners would have been interested to listen to had they known it was there.
But I think the issue that we're getting into, which has also come up when we talk about the development of just the program policy, the national program policy, in doing so, we will have to remain sensitive. As we develop these processes or these policies, we'll have to remain sensitive to the whole range of openness to the different programming, the national programming. And we talked about before that we want to build these policies in a way where they're flexible enough for those stations that are much in need and very much would welcome national programming, at the same time having it available to those who at some times will not, some of the stations that will not choose to carry it.
Okay.
So we talked about the whole range of, you know, the different needs of the stations and being open. So I really like getting the input from the PDs and the LSBs and et cetera about the policy and the procedures and remembering that as we develop it, it's going to have to be comprehensive enough that it includes those different range of needs.
So perhaps the first step would be to, you know, divide up and call each of the PDs and then put before the LSBs the questions, and we need to formulate the questions, what it is exactly it is that we're looking for. And right now, while I'm on medical leave and not working, I don't mind calling the PDs and asking them if we get some core questions about what it is we want to know from them.
Mm.
So that might be step one, and then step two would be we go to the LSBs and ask them the question too.
Who's speaking right now?
Maria Armuti.
Thank you, Maria. Okay, I couldn't recognize the voice.
Yeah, so that's my thinking. I don't mind doing the calls right now while I'm on medical leave and not having to go to work. But we just have to have a solid sense of what is it that we're asking.
And I guess what we keep coming back to is, well, if this subcommittee is willing to do that work or if they're not, because if they're not, we'll ask somebody else to do it.
Well, okay.
Well, that's kind of... I mean, I don't think that's a good way to build goodwill.
I wasn't trying to be insulting, Maria. I'm just trying to say... If you want to do that, that's really what we would like you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is then,
yes.
What is it we want to ask
yes.
The PDs and the LSBs? What is the appropriate way to ask the question so that we get a sense of how they would like to approach any kind of national programming, and if they like to do collaborative or if they would rather do, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think my sense is that they're all going to want to do it slightly differently and that it's going to be a little bit difficult, but if we ask the right questions, we'll get somewhere.
And Maria, I hear you. I guess I'm wondering, do you feel like that in the subcommittee, in your discussions, you could work out what would be the questions necessary to ask to get that range of information, or are you asking the full committee now to help to flesh out what those questions would be?
I would say if you guys have some now, let's get them in the minutes, and then we could continue them in the sub. And then, like I said, I'm happy to go to the program directors and do an email exchange and a telephone conversation with each of them and report back
mm-hmm.
until I have to go back to work.
Well,
when is that? What kind of time frame do you have?
I have to go back in 4 weeks.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Ernesto, I'm wondering, we have you a wonderful resource on the phone. Ernesto, are you still there?
I certainly am.
Do you you have any thoughts on what you're hearing us talking about right now?
I think that probably one of the more helpful things to ask some of the other program directors regarding some of these issues is, I guess for me, one of the big issues is clear communication and lead time, and it may be how that this committee can facilitate, or if there's a larger network-wide means of facilitating better communication and better lead time on a lot of things. I mean, I've been contacted about various national programs, and the average, honestly, has been about 60 days or less, so there's a means to plan for it and to promote it very effectively, but I'd like to try to figure out a means, and maybe somebody can give an idea in terms of what other stations are doing, but we've had an issue with that here, but I've noticed it seems to be kind of an ongoing type of problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That there's not enough lead time and planning.
Right, just communication about what the plan is. And with something concrete, more than a few days in advance to say, here are some of the things we're working on. These are in the hopper. These things are ready to go. And we're suitably confident that it will be technically pulled off and that there won't be dead air, there won't be quality issues that tend to reflect back on the individual stations.
Mm-hmm.
You did just from KPFKN's ditto, absolutely, from where we've had all of those issues and a few just terrible situations where, you know, eventually the show was supposed to go up and it was, almost unlistenable.
This is Ken. I think this brings us right back, as always, to the question of point person / coordinator to be able to communicate these sorts of things to do the long range planning. Just had to mention that in passing.
Mm-hmm.
Something that might
say
be...
also that sorry, but sometimes of course it is really good, so I'll say that too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Something that might be helpful, and I don't know whether this committee could really develop that, is maybe a checklist and timeline for programmers, particularly if we're organizing national types of coverage or preemptions or events, in terms of how we plan that out from a time management perspective as well as from a communication perspective. At what point in the planning do we start contacting program directors and general managers about making sure that they're on board with the national programming? At what point do we start ensuring that affiliates have their segments in various other things? At what point do we do a technical test to make sure everything is up and going and working and is effective and is ready to go? And that might be a much broader question than this committee can take on, because that brings in a lot of people into the mix, but it might be something that could be helpful, at least in a sketched out type of way.
Yeah, well, definitely would be necessary to address for the process to be successful. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
We have to look at that.
Ernesto and Alan and Sean, let me ask you a particular question. If Pacifica maintained a calendar that took account of events that are coming up, political events, cultural events, as well as tracking things that are occurring from time to time. For example, in July there's going to be a big AFL-CIO convention, and there's going to be a showdown to some extent between the SEIU's proposals and those that are being made by John Sweeney of the AFL-CIO, and it's a major issue, but it wasn't clear that this was going to happen until, you know, December or thereabouts. But what I'm saying is, if we collaborated so that we knew what was going on an annual basis, like we knew that when the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education was going to be, we know, you know, when Paul Robeson's birthday is and stuff like that, and if we had regular meetings of the program directors to discuss some of these issues, would that help us plan better? In other words, if the program directors themselves were involved in helping the network look forward to programming, would that help?
I would say, I would think so. I think that would be helpful. In addition, that would help us to pass that word to some of our programmers who might be interested in participating and collaborating with other stations on different types of programming. Or if there's an idea out there, I don't know if there's a means of putting out for an idea bulletin board or whatever else, to give programmers an opportunity to communicate. Certainly has a good chance that they may not be used very often, but to have that line of communication, at least with the program directors, to disseminate it alone, I think would be very, very helpful.